Thank you, Terri-Ann. Thanks again to everyone who's read, helped us open the meeting. And I'm going to take this opportunity to welcome those that are joining us since we first started. Warm welcome to any visitors and a massive welcome to anyone that might be new with us tonight. Narcotics Anonymous, we hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. Okay, so like we said, we are a speaker meeting tonight. We do have a speaker, I'm delighted to say, who's going to share their experience, strength, and hope with us, the journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. For the next 40, 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with. And it seems it falls on me to introduce them tonight. So I'm going to do my best. This individual started appearing at our meetings a while back. I've had the pleasure of actually spending time with her. I've met her, sat at a dinner table with her. And we got involved in kind of talking about all kinds of stuff. It seems we have some common interests, and in order to enjoy it, go through that, we made a crib board so we could sit at the table and play crib, and it was a fantastic evening. It was really good stuff. It was an absolute pleasure. I've had an opportunity to get to know this person over the last little while, and love her to bits. She's just celebrated a pretty major milestone in her recovery, so I'm going to leave her to share that with you. So Amory, please jump in and share with us, and thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Hi, Anne-Marie.
My name's Anne Marie, and I am an addict.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie.
So I've been reflecting today, kind of going through the annals of my mind and checking the shelves of memories. And I was thinking about, what happened. And what happened was, I found myself not able to guarantee my behavior or my actions after I ingested mind or mood altering substances. And from the very start, when I look at my using career, as I call it, there's this pattern of me picking up fill in the blank. And sometimes the repercussions of that action were horrific. My using career plays out like a triple X rated horror movie with a lot of violence, a lot of blood, a lot of guts, sometimes mine, sometimes other people's. People died. I often wished that I had died too. So, I stumbled along through this using career for quite a while. There were unplanned pregnancies and planned abortions. There were awkward moments of awakening and not knowing where I was, nor did I know whom I was with in the place I was at, and having to go out onto the city streets to figure out what happened, where am I, and how far away from home, and how do I get back there? It was a very bad road. I was around a lot of bad people doing a lot of bad things. And I was doing those things with them. So I was very much part of the scene. So through a series of unfortunate events, my using career, and poor choices, my using career, I found myself at my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And people in that room said, hey, there's these 12 steps, but we have all this advice we want to give you too. And I got a lot of messages. And unfortunately, some of those messages were not good information for me. They were saying things like, women stick with women. And I suffered a lot of trauma at the hands of women throughout my using career. Horrible things happened to me because of women. And the idea of women stick with women was really not in my best interest at that point in my life. So it was really the men of the fellowship, men like Jay, men like Steve, who took the time to befriend me and talk to me about recovery that gave me my first sense of safe space. And as time went on, I connected with some women. I asked a gentleman to ask me to sponsor. I asked a gentleman to sponsor me at that first meeting when they talked about how important sponsorship was. And he said no, but let me introduce you to my wife. And he introduced me to his wife. And she was very kind and gave me some of her time. We were not a good fit. It became apparent pretty early on in that attempt at sponsorship, that it wasn't a good fit for me. She said things to me like, I won't sponsor you if you date that guy. And I said things to her like, well, I was looking for a sponsor when I found you, and I kind of like that guy, so I'll see you later. And that was the culmination of that relationship. I don't do well with ultimatums. Generally, when people give me ultimatums, I know that I'm exiting stage right. So I found a couple of other women along the way. And as I shared my story with each one, both of those women said, yeah, you got too much trauma and drama over there. Like, I'm now not going to sponsor you. See you later. I was a lot. I was a lot. Early on, I had a lot of stuff, a lot of baggage. And eventually, I found a person that was a right fit. And she was fabulous. She's the woman that sponsored me for many, many years of my recovery. And we are still good friends at this day. She's still one of my besties. And with her, the discussions were not surrounding trivial things like, don't hang out with men. They're not safe, They were more on things like, let's look at that first step, Anne Marie. And since, you've admitted you're powerless over your disease, right? Over your addiction, and that your life has become unmanageable, let's go on to that second step, shall we? And tell me about that higher power that you believe in. And I did. I was like, I don't have a higher power. I'm the And she said, great, there's this place called the library. Go to the library and check out books on spirituality and different gods and different faiths and different stuff. Just go look. I was like, really? Yeah, we have choices here. And I did. I went to the library and I checked out those books and I read some and I talked to people and I asked them, what kind of higher power do you have? And one of my friends, he follows this Krishna stuff, and he was telling me all about that. And I was like, yeah, no. And I just have all kinds of different friends and they're doing different things. And I'm checking out all kinds of spirituality. And I happened upon a spiritual journey that felt very comfortable to me. And I started connecting that way. I started doing that stuff. I started reading about that God of my understanding. And it was an amazing thing for me. It was an amazing thing to make that connection, to have that connection. I have higher power. I have the God of my understanding that I believe in 100%, my ride or die. And I sat down with her after I did all my research and I practiced that second step, And I started discovering that restoration to sanity, and I could see it happening in my life in little ways, in little ways. Like, instead of running away, I stopped, dropped, and I prayed and I called my sponsor. And I looked, I went to a meeting, And around this time too, I had been clean for a little bit, going to meetings, hanging out with recovering people. And somebody from my back 40 called and invited me to a house party. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and she said, well, check yourself physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And if you choose to go, just remember you need to have an exit plan. And some of us find it's a better idea to stay away. And that was it. Like I don't come from a style of sponsorship that edicts things from the top of a hill, thou shalt, you know? And so I got to learn to apply the 12 steps and have my own life experience and not feel like I can't do that, right? So I went over there and I got to that place and they're passing the stuff around and they passed it to me. And I call this a defining moment in life. I looked at that stuff. I looked at them. I said, I have to go now. And I left. I exited immediately. I knew in that moment, I can't be in that world anymore and have what you guys are talking about. And I had enough of what you guys were talking about that I wanted it. Like, I don't ever want to have to suffer the consequences of active addiction again. I left. That is the second step, sanity being restored, knowing when to say goodbye and leave a situation. So I could see that and other examples. You know, I sat down with my sponsor and she said to me, tell me about this higher power. Tell me about how you can see restoration to sanity happening, how that's working for you. And I told her. And she said, great, study step three, start doing that every day. And you know, when I made this decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding, the way I did it formally for myself was I just pictured this fragile, beautiful, delicate Easter egg shell, Easter egg, you know, in the palm of my hand. And I set that in the palm of my higher power's hand because that represented me at my innermost core, a delicate, fragile, beautiful being. And I asked the God of my understanding, could you please take care of this for me? And I walked out of that third step, doing it formally with her and explaining to her my concept of my higher power, going into a lot more detail than I am now and how I connect and what my higher power looks at. I walked out of that for the first time in my life, I felt confidence that I really can stay clean, that I really can continue with this restoration to sanity, that I'm not going to ever have to suffer those consequences. You know, there were some severe scars and consequences to using for me. You know, I spent a year of my life in a place for people that where you get locked up behind closed doors, and it was you know, it was the nut ward, and it was not always a pleasant place to be. A lot of stuff happened when I was using, and I haven't had to revisit most of it since I got clean. And I found that when I practice these 12 steps, I don't have severe consequences in my life. So then this lady, you know, when I got done with my third step and telling her how great it felt and how much I trusted my higher power, she suggested I immediately start writing on my fourth step. And I left and I went to a meeting and there was this guy across the table that I kind of liked. And, you know, I approached him and said, you know, I think we should go out, you know, sometime. And he said, no. You know, you don't quite have a year yet. And I said, well, how much clean time do you have? He said, well, I got 4 years. I said, between your 4 years and my some odd months, we got over a year. Let's do this, man. And you know, most of the time in my life, my experience with human beings is that if you just lay hands on them any kind of way, they will usually follow you around. And he did. He came home with me that night. We added some sex to the equation and we had a relationship. And it was just that great. I had no idea who this guy was. And this went on for a while, you know, me and this guy, we dated. It was fabulous. And, you know, I told my sponsor I was doing great. I didn't really have to talk to her very much at that time. But then some time went on. So some time went on, okay? And I'm dating the guy, and I told my sponsor, I got this, I'm good. And going to meetings. And on this one rainy night, It's always storming, cold, and raining. And it's like 1, 2 in the morning. Everything exploded, and I'm on the phone with my sponsor at a payphone because I got clean a long time ago when we had payphones, 1985. And I'm telling her, like, it's bad. And she's like, well, why don't you go stop at a drugstore? The pharmacy is what we call it. Stop at the pharmacy and pick up a notebook and a pen and come on over to my house. And I went over to Mary Ellen's house and she sat me down with a basic text and IP number 10 and a cup of chamomile tea. And she said, it might be a good time for you to start this, you know, the step work. Let's get you back on track and you'll be all right. You didn't relapse, did you? No, I didn't relapse. You still got that higher power thing going, right? Oh yeah. Okay, well, great. Here's your pen and paper. And then she started walking away. I said, where are you going? She said, Amory, I've already done my 4-step. I'm going to sleep. You're the only one in this house that needs to do that writing. I was like, some bullshit. I like an audience for my drama, but she left. She got a good night's sleep. And you know, I started my 4-step. And I felt pretty good. You know, I was like, oh, this is cool. I started feeling better. And I didn't finish it all that night because, you know, I had to make an epic novel out of mine, my first one. So I started feeling better. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I feel better, I usually take any kind of writing assignment, step work, therapy, whatever, and I put it under my bed. And I go out and start playing again. You know, going to parties, going to the beach, going to the park, going to the picnic, you know, going to the dance, staying out late, having a great time, going to meetings, staying clean. And then, you know, I got to that special place where I always get, and I'm crying and scared and in a corner and wondering if I can get out of this corner clean. And I called my sponsor, and she suggested I dust off my notebook and start writing again. Will I go back to the beginning? No, you just start writing about what's in the here and now, what's going on today. Okay. And I did that back and forth for several years. Several years. Mary Ellen moved. I had to find a new sponsor. And I found this new sponsor. She's a real nice lady, real chill. You know, I was going to meetings and it took me a while to find the new lady. And I was going to this late Wednesday night meeting. It was all men. I loved this meeting. It was a room full of men, no women. I was the only woman. First time I went there, I'm like, is this a men's meeting? They're like, no, you just happen to be the only woman here. Have a seat. I love these guys. They were crusty. They'd been clean a while. And it was a step study group. And these fellows saved my life. So I love the format of this meeting. The way they did it was, they would assign the chairperson, like you're chairing next week, and your topic is the first 3 steps. And you have to read our literature and get all the information, all the intelligence you can on the first 3 steps. And then next week, when we open the meeting, you are going to tell us everything you've learned out of the literature, not you, out of the literature. And you're going to share that at the next meeting. You're going to have like 10, 15 minutes. So we did this, you know, and I'm like, how come you guys always assign me 1, 2, and 3? And I said, because that's all you've done. If you want to do 4, 5, and 6 and chair that week, you know, do the little thing, you have to do the steps with a sponsor. And I'm like, well, my sponsor moved. They said, well, that means you need another one. Well, I don't know nobody. Well, here's a list of women's names, Anne Marie. Are you willing? What do you mean? Are you willing to go any length? Do you really want what we have? And they were hardcore. You know, I remember going in that meeting, boo-hooing about, I'm too young. And they're like, really? Here, we just passed a hat. If you don't think you're ready for this, take this hat. You go out there and do what you was doing before. And when you're really done and don't want to do it no more, come back. Because maybe then you'll have the willingness to do this stuff right here, which is what's going to save your life. They were mean. I love those guys. So, and that's the kind of people I need in my life. And finally, I came in one week, and every week they'd say to me, "Did you call the women's numbers we gave you?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, no." And one week I finally went in there, said, "Yeah, I called them." And they said, "You're lying." I'm like, "How do you know I'm lying?" "Because these are our wives and girlfriends. We know all of them. And they would tell us if you called." I was like, oh. You know, and it was a learning experience, you know, figuring out that most of the people in the room of the meeting I'm going to are probably friends or know each other outside the meeting. Eventually, I called one of those women and I asked her if she would sponsor me, and she heard my fifth step. I sat down with my fourth step, and I thought I was going to read her this book report. She said, "No, Amory, we're going to talk about the exact nature of your wrongs. That's what we're talking about here." And I was like, oh. So then I had to really get to the heart of stuff with this lady. And I did. I'm glad I took the time to get to the heart of the stuff. No ifs, ands, or buts. No stories about why I did this. No stories about what they did to me first. Because I'm a storyteller, I can tell some good whopping stories. But she didn't want to hear none of that bullshit. She wanted to know the exact nature of my wrongs. And we got to those. And I left there. I was so glad to be done with my fifth step. I was like, dude, this is awesome. I went home, you know, I'm chill. And then she called me. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just hanging out at home, you know, eating some potato chips, reading a book." And she said, "Well, you need to open up your basic text and go to step six and start on that." And I was like, "Well, I thought I could just chill for a while, you know. I chilled on step four for years. So I thought I could lie." She's like, "No, this is not about a roller coaster. This is not about a slow climb. You open up that book and start on six because you've got some exact nature of your wrongs that you didn't sound too happy about having. So maybe you need to start addressing them and thinking about being ready." And honestly, I wasn't ready on a lot of these things. Like when I first got clean and they talked about honesty, I thought, well, right there, I know I'm not going to stay clean because I lie all the time. And I still struggle with that today, but I have been able to stay clean. Because most of the time I stop myself before I tell a lie, or I go back and admit to the lie, and I know how to handle those situations. That's what the 12 steps are for. When I fall short in my humanness, and I'm going to fall short, I'm going to do things I'm not proud of, clean. I used to think when I first got here, if I stay clean, everything will be sunshine and roses, and I'll be perfect. I'll be like a born again virgin. Everything will be wonderful, and I'll never do that that I did when I was using. But what I've discovered is I'm capable and have done a lot of that, stark raving clean. And that's why I think meeting attendance and constant study and application of the 12 steps is so vital. Because even with constant study and applications, I have my days and my moments where I fall short. Where I fall short. I see Suave DeBoner, or I get invited to do something I know I have no business doing, or, you know, I see something on a shelf and I decide it would be fun to take it without paying for it. I think stealing cars is fun. I think a lot of illegal, immoral things is fun. And I don't do those things today because of the repercussions, because of how I feel after I've done it. It's not because I'm not capable, it's because I don't like the repercussions. That's what keeps me on the straight and narrow. I don't ever want to have to use again. And if I do stuff that's wrong often enough, I will end up using again because I won't be able to carry that guilt and shame anymore. It's either going to be confess and recover and do the next right thing to make reparations, or it's going to be get high. And so far, you know, I've chosen the eighth, ninth, and 10th steps. You know, that eighth step and looking at what I did to cause harm is important to me. Very important. Looking at my side of the street, what did I do now? What have I done? And What do I need to do different next time to not find myself right here again? And I do this kind of stuff on a regular basis, stark raving clean. You know, this is just how I roll now that I'm in recovery. And I like that 10th step, you know, and the 9th step, making those direct amends. One of the direct amends that I make on a regular basis is I show up at work and I get caught working again. I get caught being polite again. The people I work with don't know that I'm a recovering person. They don't know that I cuss like a motherfucker. They do not know the kind of stuff that goes on between my ears. They don't need to. All they need to know is Anne Marie shows up when she's scheduled to be here, and she works the entire time that she's here. And if there's no work to do, she relaxes. But if there's work to do, she does it. And the other thing that I do these days is that I don't take my coworkers' inventories. It does not matter if Becky Sue is doing her job or not. What matters is, am I doing my job or not? And I learned that around the rooms of NA, doing service work and calling my sponsor and saying, can you believe that? That person made a commitment and they didn't show up. And my sponsor's like, did you make any commitments, Anne Marie? Well, yeah. Well, I remember a time, Anne Marie, because she sponsors me, when you made a commitment to speak at that meeting over there and then you didn't show up. Because you forgot. And it really gives me pause. You know, I am going to fall short. I am fallible. I'm a human being. I have to remember that before I get out my judginess on other people in the rooms, at work, at home. Tell you what, dealing with family's hard. And I like the 10th step. Because it gives me a chance to nip things in the bud. You know, taking my personal inventory on a regular and promptly admitting when I'm wrong. You know, I've been doing some service work for my family, and I have a niece, and I've been transporting her kids, and I've started to get resentful. And I talked to my therapist about it, you know, and I talked to my sponsor about it, and I ran it through the 12 steps. You know, I'm powerless over getting other people to contact me and do things in a timely fashion that I need. But my part in it is I have a choice today. I can quit that job. I can step back from that volunteer position. I am no longer a hostage. I have choices. And I have options, and I tried several different options and solutions, and none of them seemed to work. So I was able to respectfully, and here's the thing, this is what recovery did for me. Instead of having a big drama and me exploding, I was respectfully able to say, I'm not going to be able to provide this service for you guys anymore. I've got some other things on my plate. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'm certain that you will find another solution going forward. That's all I had to say. That is recovery right there. That's recovery. You know, and like with the 11th step, when I think about how I use that in my daily, I need to have a sense of purpose in my life. I'm hardwired to be a purpose-driven person, you know, to need to be fulfilled some kind of way. And I go to my higher power and I'm like, hey, how can I be of service to you, to my higher power? And then I look around me, you know, I pray for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And how do I know if this is God's will? Well, when I have a great idea, I usually go talk to my sponsor or my spiritual advisor, people that know me well. And a lot of times I look at my calendar. Can I realistically add something else on here before I take action today? That's that second step kicking in. That is me with that restoration to sanity. You know, looking at my calendar before I open my mouth and say I'm going to do something. And it seems like This is simple stuff, but it's not always that simple. It's not. I know for a fact if I pick up and use again, all bets are off. And I don't want to use again. And I know for a fact from my own experience that regular meeting attendance, study and application of the 12 steps equals a better life lived and a more peaceful, calm life. You know, when I was using, I had a lot of drama in my life, and in my recovery, I've had some periods that were not pleasant. Just because I'm clean does not mean I haven't been through life's trauma, drama, and pain. You know, I had twin boys and they died, so I got to experience grief. I married a man that I loved and trusted, and we had 18 wonderful years together. And he came in one day and said, "I don't want to do this anymore with you. I want somebody else." And I think that was one of the most painful rejections I've ever experienced in my entire life. I had spent more years living with this man than I had spent living with anyone else in my entire life. And that was a crushing blow to my ego. And there's just so many levels of pain there. I walked my parents to the grave clean. I did all this cleaning and recovery. How did I do it? Went to meetings and I applied the steps and I called people and I did what they told me to do. And that was hard. My baby brother, boy, I'll tell you, when he moved me out of the house I shared with my husband, he looked at me and he said, "Promise me you're never going to go back there. I've seen the way this man treated you. You deserve better." And the other thing he said to me is, "You better do a four step and take your inventory because you need to w look at your side of the street." That was painful. To look at my side of the street, I was the victim. You know, it's like, and he's like, "There's two sides to every story." Telling me his side isn't going to keep you clean. So if you want to stay clean, you better get to your side of that street and start cleaning and looking at stuff. And you know, for me, the 12th step is about me going to meetings. I can't work step 12 if I'm not coming into meetings. So when I have good friends and people I love tell me that they're way too healthy today to hang out with those sick newcomers, I just look at them and I say, "How can you do a 12 step if you're not coming and hanging out with everybody in the room? How are you going to do that? You can't. Ain't no way I can practice step 12 without coming to meetings." And that's why I keep coming back, because there's 12 steps up there on how to not only stay clean, abstinent, but also stay abstinent like long term. There's all 12 steps, you know? And I just want to close on this. Total abstinence means I don't take any mind or mood altering substances at all. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.